My colleague, the Reverend Cynthia Fredo, begins her reflection, "Christmas comes whether you're ready or not," with these words. "I am always in a bit of shock when December 1st arrives on the calendar. I always feel like there should be at least another week beyond Thanksgiving before I can even contemplate the next holiday. I think, however, that beyond the incredible demands of the season, the hardest part to reconcile is that the heart is not always in sync with angels, presents, babes in a manger, and the ho, ho, ho that is Christmas. Sometimes it feels like you just go through the motions because that is what is expected. Sometimes I wish Christmas would take a vacation and return midwinter next year." Have any of you ever felt that way? Yes. Are any of you already feeling that way this year? Yes, years are getting shorter and shorter. I am aware that this season of Advent, of Adventus, of waiting, is a mixed bag for many of us, for many people. For some of us, at least in some years, it may not even be a mixed bag. It can be downright trying. The focus seems to be on the end product, the cheery lights, the sweet confections, the exchange of gifts, the promise of hope, new life, and a greater love. But it isn't that easy, and it isn't that simple. Not every family has enough, as you know. They may not even have a place to call home, and the relationships might not be exactly warm and supportive. David Breeden's chalice lighting words for this first Sunday of Advent remind us that we are called upon in this dark season of the year to be patient. However, this time of year can really try our patience, especially when we're going through a difficult or challenging time and we perceive that the people around us have no idea how gloomy we are feeling. Any of us might be feeling the effects of seasonal depression, for example. There simply is not enough light in the day to lift our spirits. We might be experiencing health issues, a flare-up of symptoms, a new concern, or an ongoing chronic condition. Or maybe we are facing the last stages of a loved one's life or our own. Trying at any time of year, but particularly so when it is mixed up with a season that everyone expects to be joy-filled. When this happens to us, we are acutely aware that we are not in sync with the rest of the world around us. Having expectations about the winter holidays can trip you up. If we expect the holidays to always be what we experienced as children, that is, assuming that we have warm, fuzzy memories of our childhoods, which simply isn't true for everyone, it can lead to disappointments. The holidays are not forever fixed with happy endings, like the stories written down by Clement Clark Moore, Charles Dickens, and E.T.A. Hoffman. During the Advent season of 1987, when I was in Antarctica for Christmas, I had plenty of time to reflect on this season of waiting. Nothing about our Christmas in a tent in the dry valleys would be anything like any Christmas that I had ever experienced in 25 plus years. I realized that if I held on to expectations about what makes Christmas Christmas, I would be very disappointed. I chose to shift away from expectations and open myself up to waiting for the unknown. No other Christmas will be like that one. Not before, and not in the 3 decades since. The celebration of each Christmas holiday has become unique for me. When Christmas is coming, whether we're ready or not, and we are not in sync with the rest of the world, perhaps it would be better to see it as the world around us is not in sync with us. I've been there. December is now inexorably tied to going home for what I knew was the last visit I would have with my father, and it unexpectedly turning into the week he died. The worst kind of waiting is when you know the outcome can be nothing other than death. I'd gone through it before with a dear friend and her surviving partner, the last visit to her bedside, not knowing when the end would come and close the book on this one life. We were waiting with neither suffering nor hope, waiting for nothing but release into peace. Let's be honest. Waiting is hard. Being patient is hard. Some of us are better at waiting than others. Some of us have more patience for waiting than others. We have to continually practice patience as a spiritual practice to be good at it. That is the nature of virtues and their opposite vices too. Making use of these practices is how they become entrained and ingrained into our habits. Patience is the virtue opposite to anger, according to the 5th century Christian medieval allegorical poem, Psychomachia. Battle of the Spirit or Soul Wars, an epic poem by Prudentius. The quintessential biblical example of patience is, of course, Job. Afflicted repeatedly and with increasing severity in trials, Job never wavers from his faith. At least that's how Job is presented in later interpretations of this biblical poem. But Job does curse God for the suffering inflicted upon him and his family. We curse the darkness. Our anger over suffering and injustice is understandable, justifiable, even righteous. Why me, we ask? Or why is this happening to my loved one? It isn't fair. It isn't right. Bad things happen to good people. How can people, the politically powerful and the abjectly powerless alike, do what they do to other human beings, or any living being, whether plants or animals, for that matter? Why the news from the border of tear gassing people whose only wish is to live freely, peaceably, and in good health? Why are there such hateful and violent acts as bombs and poisonous substances mailed to elected officials, or shootings of innocent people because of their community identity? How to respond? It's complicated, to be sure. Patience isn't enough in these circumstances. Anger is justified. Regardless, we need to recognize that this season requires more of us all than simple, unmitigated joy. Maybe the best we can do when all that we want to do is curse the darkness is light one candle in hopes of dispelling some of the gloom. Hope Morgan Ward, a United Methodist bishop, puts it this way, which I have updated and adapted slightly for our Unitarian Universalist theology. In the darkness, we yearn for light. Every lit candle in our homes and churches is a brave, artful, and resistant witness to our painful realization of the persistent darkness in the world. Every lit candle pleads for the light that shatters darkness in Puerto Rico, in Robeson County, in Houston, and in Sutherland Springs, in Florida and in New York, in Sierra Leone and in Las Vegas. Every lit candle provides a beacon of hope in Squirrel Hill, in Panama City, and on the U.S.-Mexican border. Every lit candle is a sign of faith in the Spirit of Life, who is present when and where violence erupts, people suffer, and hearts ache. Or, as the Reverend Cynthia Frado also wrote in the reflection I quoted earlier, as I contemplate the state of the world at this moment in time, I cannot think of anything more needed than a reminder that of our potential to bring peace and healing and possibility into our lives. We don't always feel it or see it or think it is there, but then there comes Christmas, even when we aren't ready to receive it. A reminder that no matter what season of the heart we are in, no matter what struggles or grief are consuming us, Christmas will not let us forget the light that was born in us, even on the darkest night of our souls. That is ultimately where this season of waiting is leading, to healing, to possibility, to peace, to light. The waiting isn't easy, but we are all waiting for rebirth and a chance at a new year, no matter whether we are ready for Christmas or not. The Reverend Annie Milligan Gonzalez is one of our denomination's young adult spiritual leaders. She wrote the following about waiting in the time of Advent. I learned to love Advent in seminary. Learned to love the story of Jesus coming into the world. Learned to love the candles. Learned to love my favorite Advent song, The Canticle of the Turning. It is a lively song set to the tune Star of the County Down and based on Mary's Magnificat from the book of Luke, whose chorus, which you just heard sung by Abby and Lisa, goes, "My heart shall sing of the day you bring. Let the fires of your justice burn. Wipe away all tears, for the dawn draws near, and the world is about to turn." Waiting as if the world is about to turn. This is a different kind of waiting. It is waiting that is pregnant with hope. Sometimes that pregnancy is quite literal, as in the nativity story, and also in all the many families who wait in expectation for the birth of a child at this time of year. There are some among our Brew community who are waiting for just this kind of hope. The birth of a new grandchild, for example, due during December or January. On the other hand, this pregnancy, this expectation and hope might be more figurative. Maybe you've been setting the stage for a change in your life, planning a move, or getting ready to launch a new project. Waiting as if the world is about to turn, waiting to be born for the first time or once again, it is always waiting that comes first. It might be quiet, passive, expectant waiting. It might be active waiting as you light candles, taking action rather than cursing the darkness. This kind of waiting, active and hope-filled, is transformational waiting. Waiting with a goal in mind. Waiting with a vision of truth and beauty that we can all work towards realizing, making it into a new dawning reality. As you go through Adventus, are there traditions that you engage in that light up the darkness, not just for yourself or your immediate family, but for others in the community, people you don't know? Do you play the part of the compassionate stranger? Are you a good Samaritan? A stranger, a good Samaritan named Roger helped Lisa and I on the Sunday morning after Thanksgiving when our car broke down as we were driving back from visiting her family in Pennsylvania. Roger stopped to see if we needed help as we sat with the car's hood up in the Walmart parking lot near where we had stopped to refuel. He was able to quickly spot the problem when he looked inside at the engine. And then he made sure that Lisa and I were able to drive the car around to the back to the auto center. But that wasn't all. Roger waited to make sure that I could find a rental car to drive back to Manassas, where I was supposed to officiate a memorial service, a celebration of life for a family who had gathered in town for this purpose. I kept coming up short on finding a rental agency nearby that would pick me up. So Roger drove me 30 minutes north to a regional airport where I waited for the first rental agency to open that afternoon at 2 p.m. I wasn't able to make it back to Manassas in time to conduct the service, but in the end, all that mattered was that the family did celebrate the deceased's life. I did make it back to Manassas that evening, and Lisa did get her car fixed and at less expense than it could have been if things had been worse. We are grateful that the breakdown occurred where and when it did. We are grateful that we are safe. We are grateful for the kindness of a stranger. And I am grateful that a grieving family was still able to celebrate the life of a loved one in a meaningful way, to find the strength to let go and let being become. Strangers can be life changers. This congregation transforms countless lives through its good works, lighting a candle rather than cursing the darkness. We provide food to the hungry, and we partner with Beacon to increase literacy and language skills within the community. Collectively, we support other worthy organizations through our Split the Plate program. Brew is a member of organizations such as the Unitarian Universalist for Social Justice and also A Voice. We are committed to supporting marginalized and oppressed people in changing hearts and minds so that all are served justly by the policies and governance structures in a land founded on the principles of democracy and freedom of conscience. And I'm assuming that, like me, individually, each of you contributes additional time, talent, and treasure to many additional worthy causes than those simply endorsed by the congregation as a whole. There is a whole lot of hope invested in these myriad actions we take. It may be easier to see, to hear, and to feel that hope when we are the ones receiving the gifts, but the hope infuses the giver and the act of giving as well. We all benefit from hope-filled waiting. Waiting is filled with the tension between the present and the future, but the future is always becoming the now. Hear again how the Reverend David Breeden put it: enjoy the moment, the now, of our lives. Yes, much is coming, and always we wait, but those things to come will also be now when they come. Find a way to inhabit the waiting. I'm not saying it's easy. Spiritual practice isn't supposed to be easy. But when we accept the waiting is part of the process, part of the season. It becomes easier because we are focused on the becoming. Maybe this winter is the one when it becomes easier for you. The Reverend Tess Baumberger expresses in Winter Meditation how hopeful expectation changes our relationship with waiting. Hear these words. Something has changed in me this winter. In the past, I've focused on how long winter is, how miserable I find it, and how it seems so interminable. This winter, I find myself thinking instead that every day, every hour, every minute brings us just that much closer to spring. We all experience wintry times when things seem harsh and frozen or muffled by layered shrouds of snow. It is helpful to remember that each day that dawns bleakly, each night that wraps its cold cloak around our hearts, brings us closer to that time of warm and vibrant sun. It is perhaps helpful to consider that turning toward spring is an active thing. The earth, which seems so stable, in fact, flies quickly through space on its path that tilts us ever towards the source. So too, each memory we lay to rest, each truth in ourselves that we encounter and accept, each wrong act that we forgive ushers us towards our renewal. I encourage each of us to embrace this season of watchful waiting with an eye towards hope and blessings, even when to do so feels like it flies in the face of the hardship and pain we may be enduring also in this season of darkness and cold winds that seem to bite and dampen our spirits. There is something larger than ourselves that blows in and among us, offering a glimpse of our futures, which are becoming now in this very moment. Let us rise, in body or spirit, to invite the Blessed Spirit of Mystery to light our way forward through the turning of the world. Our hymn is number 86, found in the gray hymnal, as well as projected on the wall in the front of the sanctuary. Please join with me now for a time of prayer and silent meditation. In this season of waiting, when the world is expectant with hope and rebirth, we recognize the accomplishments in our lives, the ways that the world is turning towards the greater good, towards success, towards fulfillment. We appreciate so much when we learn the practice of gratitude and we hear others practice it with us, thanking us for who we are in their lives. In this season of waiting, we recognize that not everything is positive, is hopeful, is easy. We recognize and we hold in our hearts those who are facing illness, those whose lives have changed, not necessarily for the better, but have changed, simply changed. Sometimes that comes from outside of anything that we can do. Sometimes it is a life that is taken in the service to the community. Sometimes it is the destruction that happens as a result of natural causes, wildfires, earthquakes, floods. We hold in our hearts those communities which are facing rebuilding, facing restarting, facing a lot this winter when it is easier often to curse the darkness than to light that candle of hope that will turn us towards the morning. Spirit of life, Spirit of love, we are grateful for your abiding presence in and among us, showing us the way forward, showing us that we have the strength to endure, we have the strength to grow, to change, and move on. We have the strength to become. Please join me now in a time of silence. Amen. Blessed be and namaste. This benediction by David Rankin is called Advent. During the Advent season, we celebrate the qualities of faith, hope, love, and joy. Yet these must be viewed through the prism of paradox. No faith is worthy without the capacity to doubt all things, for then it is only credulity. No hope is possible without the specter of defeat in the wings, for then it is only dreaming. No love is strong without the dread of loss in the heart, for then it is only passion. No joy is complete without the certainty of sorrow in the future, for then it is only frivolity. Thus, it is wrong to mislead people with simplistic notions, for they distract us from the fullness of life. After all, the seas have storms, the clouds have lightning, and the roses have thorns forever. Would you rise in body or spirit to sing our Advent hymn number 226, People Look East. You may join hands for our chalice extinguishing if you are so willing. We extinguish this chalice, for the worship has ended. Our service begins.